You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
As we prepare to receive the word of the Lord, dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh. This is another wonderful opportunity to hear you speak to our hearts. We pray that every hearer will open his or her heart to what you have to say. Let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do in the scripture. Let him unfold and reveal, disclose the truth that you're teaching us today. And then temper it, God, so that each and every one of us will know that you're speaking to us. And dear God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. We are commencing with our every member evangelism, and I thought it would be helpful to share from scripture how to be a worthy witness. A worthy witness, found in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, a familiar verse of scripture. And as we go through this verse, hopefully you will understand what it takes to become a worthy witness. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. A worthy witness. My brothers and sisters, you'd be surprised at how many believers all across the globe who have been born again, washed in the blood, love the Lord, read the Bible, and yet are scared to witness. Maybe scared is too strong of a word. They're afraid to witness. Maybe afraid is too strong of a word. They shirk to think that someone will ask them about their Savior and their salvation. And each of us, according to the Word of God, are saved by the power of Jesus Christ his blood, his redeeming blood, by his spirit that convicts us and calls us to the consciousness of our needing a Savior. And we have experienced that, but there seems to be a piece of the puzzle missing for us to share that with someone else. Now, one of the things that you're going to know is that you, as a born-again believer, you as a saved saint, you, one who belongs to the Lord, are the most important factor to spreading the fact that he can save to the world. Because you were lost, you were blind, you were a wretch undone. And when you begin to think of all that the Lord has done for you, it ought to be an easy thing to tell somebody else how good God's been to you. But the enemy puts fear in us. And Jesus had a discourse in this first chapter with his disciples and others, and he was talking about some of the important things that the New Testament church would need to do and how they would have to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is really where the Holy Ghost is introduced with fervency and power and making his role clear in the lives and the hearts and the minds of the believers. And so he talks in that seventh verse about it being only God who will know of the end of all things, and it's in God's own power. And that word power in the seventh verse comes from the Greek word exousia, which means authority, which means jurisdiction. It means with God's own pleasure. But then in verse 8 it says, but ye shall receive power. Now, it is not the same power in verse 7 as it is in verse 8. Verse 8 is dunamis, which is an inherent power which comes from a source that is within us, who namely is the Holy Ghost. It is a power and or an ability to get things done. It is the same root word that we get dynamite from, which is explosive power, which means when dynamite is set off, nothing is ever the same again. And so he says, this is the power that you shall receive, the ability to get things done, that kind of power that will cause a righteous effect to happen when the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you, using you. And so it says, but ye shall receive power. Power. So power is the first word that we want to focus on in this verse, because there are three areas that I'd like us to see that the verse apprises us of in terms of knowing how to be a worthy witness. First, power. You got to have power. Tell your neighbor, you got to have power. So that we're clear, Holy Ghost power. You got to have Holy Ghost power. Now, why do you need this Holy Ghost power? Why do you need this dunamis? Why do you need this ability to do things? I'll suggest three reasons why you need it. First of all, power creates excitement. Excitement. Anybody who has power is exciting. Is exciting. Folk who are exciting are powerful people. And you've never seen anybody with real power not be exciting. It's a part of what goes with the power. It's a part that gives to that person that ability, that confidence, that power to do and to be and to know that there are certain things that will be affected because he or she has stepped in the room. They are game changers. They are difference makers.
they know that when they add their little part in it, whatever it is, it's going to change. If it's salt, it's going to change. If it's sugar, it's going to change. Whatever it is, because excitement comes with power. Here's what it means. It means that that person is exciting, or through that power, that person is excited. But in either case, there's going to be excitement. Y'all not hearing me here? You see, that's what made Jesus' ministry so authentic and attractive in his day. That was not a boring day with Jesus. When you got power, things just happen. Jesus just walked up and demons started trembling and shouting. Talking about, what are we to do with thee, thou Holy Son of God? They just call, I mean, just the power and the excitement of things going to have. Oh, it's going to be an exciting day today. There was no food. Man with power created food. Somebody sick. There we go. Here go the healer right here coming on. It's going to be exciting because he's got power to change that. Even with somebody dead, everybody crying, whining, moaning. He walks up there by there and he calls life back into the body. It's exciting. Somebody stretched out that day. Come back to life. You don't think that's exciting? He goes by graveyard, calls his friend out the graveyard because he was taking care of God's business and his friend died on him. He said, listen here, just tell me where you buried him at. Show me the place. They get there. A stone is there. He said, y'all roll that stone away and let me call my friend. And he simply called his friend because if he had not called him by name, everybody. Now, you ain't telling me that ain't exciting. Because I'd have hitched up to him and said, listen, call my mama name, call my grandmama name, call my brother name, call my sister name.
Come on, doctor.
It was excitement. Because there was power, Holy Ghost power. And listen, when you got that kind of power, you don't let the devil mess with you. Because that kind of power can change the effects. Why you think God don't get in a hurry about stuff? Because he can undo what the devil did. He can reverse it. He can rearrange it. He can change it. So he doesn't have to get in a hurry because he's got power, exciting power. And so my brothers and sisters, when we as believers receive that power, there ain't nothing boring about us. When we're operating in the will of God. You see, to become a witness, worthy witness, you've got to have the power that creates excitement. Matter of fact, there are people in court every day across the globe concerning Jesus. And you will be called as a witness. Now, Jesus don't want you to be just any witness, because you could be a weak witness. And a weak witness won't prove his case. He wants you to be a worthy witness with excitement that explains and expresses who Jesus really is experientially, meaning you know it for your self. You are an eyewitness accountant of what has transpired. Ain't nobody told you about this. This is what you have experienced. And when you retell the story, matter of fact, one day Paul was in court telling the story about Jesus Christ, and King Agrippa was there listening. And because Paul had power as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, Agrippa told him, he said, boy, if you'd have made one more round, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Just being a witness. a worthy witness. It's exciting. What has the Lord done with you?
Well, I woke me up this morning and let me see. I had a bill I couldn't pay. And you know the Lord's been good to me. He been good. When I think of the goodness of Jesus.
What? Where do you want me to start? Today, yesterday, a year ago, 2 years ago? Where do you, how much time do you have? Tell me what area you want me to talk to him about. And the power of the Holy Ghost stirs you up. Listen, because it's one exciting. You're excited, and it causes excitement in others just hearing about Jesus. So power is the first thing you've got to have in Acts 1:8 to be a worthy witness. But not only must you have power, but the second thing the verse tells me is you got to have a purpose. Because power without a purpose is pathetic. You going around there with all that power and don't know what to do with it. Don't have no idea how to affect change or anything else. You see, because one of the things that I think you need to understand is that there must be a serious purpose about the power that you have. Now, lest I run off too quickly. First of all, I told you that in order to have the power, it creates excitement. But the second thing about that I forgot to tell you was that power also gives you the ability to engage in what you've been called to do. See, a whole lot of us don't understand that we've got it on the inside of us, you know, the knowledge. But you need power to generate that engagement in being a worthy witness. In other words, you know what to say, you just scared to say it. But when the power is all over it, you can't help yourself. Matter of fact, it's trying to stop yourself from saying all that you know, because you just can't tell it all, but you try. So there's engagement that happens after the excitement, because you can't keep it. I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. So there is engagement that happens after the excitement of the power that is given you. But here, thirdly, is the most perhaps important reason why the power is given. And thirdly, it is because of or for effectiveness. See, you got to have power to be effective. If you don't have a power that is able to affect, to change, to rearrange, to create, to do what is necessary to bring to pass the message you're trying to get, then it is worth nothing. You are a witness, a presenter of truth. That means that you have got to have the ability to get the message over. What good is it to be a message and you can't translate the message? I was sent to tell you. Come on, Doctor. Well, I know, I think it went something like, you lose the effectiveness when you can't give it like it was delivered to you. And listen, because you are an eyewitness, you are able to be the one that God impresses upon your heart, so that when you speak, that same impression that was placed upon your heart is now placed upon the hearer's heart. And so with the same conviction and the same passion that you get it, it's the same way that you give it. Man, when you get on fire and start burning, do you sit down and act cool, calm, and collected? No, you can't sit down. You can't be still. It is something far greater than you that motivates you and moves you, and you couldn't stay if you wanted to. That's the kind of power that most must go forth to be effective in change. I'm not talking about hype. You got a whole lot of churches with a whole lot of hype. Whole lot of noise, whole lot of movement, whole lot of dance, whole lot of jumping, whole lot of shouting, whole lot of nothing. Just feelings, just emotions, no power. Not fluff. You know, matter of fact, when I was a little boy, I didn't like Cheeto Puffs. Because it was a whole lot of fluff, just a lot of air. I like Cheetos crunch. Something with some substance. And a whole lot of you just like fluff. You don't really want no substance. You just want something light, just melt in your mouth, easy kind of stuff. Oh, but when you got good teeth and you can crunch. I'm sorry. I'm going to get back on the message. I got up a little too early. I ate my right breakfast. I'm sorry. But it's important to understand that that power creates effects. And without the effectiveness of that power, your witness is worthless. And then we move on to purpose. And ye shall be witnesses of me. Now, God gave you power, but what did he give you power for? The purpose of being an eyewitness, a worthy witness, an experiential witness. And ye shall be witnesses of me. Now, Jesus said this. He says, listen, and all you have to do is look at the word. He's saying, you're going to be witnesses of me after you receive power. So what is he really saying? That you're not really an effective witness. You're not really a worthy witness without Holy Ghost power. So that's why many folk don't get excited about telling the story of the Lord or sharing Jesus with folk. It's because they don't really think anything's going to happen when they get through talking. Listen, when I get through sharing Jesus with a sinner, he's going to either be glad or mad. But I'm going to create an effect. Y'all don't hear me here. See, when I sit down and talk with him or stand up or lean against a building and share the word with him where he may be or whatever may be going on, I know when I get through talking about my Savior, something's going to happen. That person is going to want to know more about Jesus or don't want to know nothing else about it. He's going to be drawn to me or driven away from me, because that's the power that creates a change and an effect. Man, imagine how exciting it would be to know that everybody you talk to, for the purpose, listen, of sharing Christ, will have an effect one way or another. Now, if you get through talking to them, and after you get through talking to them, they're just like they were before you talked to them, you ain't got no power, boo. This ain't story time. No. We're talking about life-changing word. A message that's sent to convict and to convince folk so that they will be converted. They cannot leave you the same way they started with you if you've got power. But the power, listen, in this cause is all about Jesus. Listen, the Holy Ghost will do something that is so important. He will give you, within the confines of your own personality, the ability to make Jesus come alive. Did you hear what I said? I said, within the confines of your own personality, he'll give you the ability to make Jesus come alive. Man, listen, when folk get through hearing you, seeing you, experiencing you, even if they don't want it, they're going to know it's real in you. They're going to see that change, that difference, that power. And they're going to know that he is real, whether they receive him or not. Because your whole purpose for having power is to present Jesus perfectly. Meaning that your presentation of Jesus should not only be personal, but it should be powerful. And it should be powerful within your own personality. In other words, don't try and be nobody else. Be you. But be you who know Jesus and present Jesus out of the authority and power that he's given you to do it with. I've seen some folk talk about this, that, and the other, and it just seemed just this melodrama. Easy going. Nothing excites them till they talk about Jesus. And it's like they come alive. And it's like, nah, I didn't hit the right button. I didn't touched on what really matters most to them. And they come alive. And they can tell you about Jesus some things, listen, that you would think they actually walked with him, talked with him, lived with him, experienced him in the flesh. That's how real he becomes. And that's what the power of the Holy Ghost gives you the ability to do when you explain Jesus. Now, you might not have, you know, big words, theological phrases, and the understanding of how to systematically present him in a structured way. But when you get through talking about him, somebody will know. You know Jesus. Notice what he goes on to say then. So he says, and ye shall be witnesses of me. That's the purpose of the power. But then let's look at the place that we use the power, the presentation. He says, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, he deals with this presentation being given locally, regionally, and globally. Locally, regionally, and globally. Now, here's what you say. You say, well, I've never been beyond Baton Rouge. Well, it's clear your ministry of witnessing is in Baton Rouge. That's where you witness. But to whom do you witness in Baton Rouge? He gives you every place that the soles of your feet trod to be a courtroom for Jesus. On your job, in your home, at school, in the mall, in a restaurant, on the telephone. And listen, because now we have the technology to be able to reach out beyond our concentric circle of contact by way of the internet, computer, etc., we can reach folk even through those social media means. Instead of talking trash, talk truth. And trying to hook up with somebody, hook somebody up with Jesus. Yeah.